Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. And welcome to the Professional Women's Entrepreneurs Empowerment Radio. This is your host, Dr. Ramona Holly Major, a.k.a. the co-pilot, joining you this evening. Thank you for tuning in for Tax Into Position radio show this evening. You've been given your boarding pass, so let's get ready for takeoff. For today's show, I'm ready to jump right in. I'm excited about the start of our leadership, our summer leadership book club series. And the summer is a great time when we are much more diligent at making time for rest and relaxation. Many of you are looking for some good book reads to take to the beach, on vacation, on those plane rides that you might be taking, or just even the vacation time you might be spending in the backyard looking for something to do which doesn't require you to exert a lot of energy, but to actually get some relaxation. So I thought it was a good idea to share some of the books that I've been looking at in terms of leadership focus. And as a lifelong learner, I think it is important that you're always striving to learn something new. It helps to keep the mind alert and so that we're able to use it long into our years. And to me, about being a lifelong learner, it doesn't matter whether it's reading a book, if you're taking a cooking class, or if you're learning to surfboard on your summer vacation. It's about continually learning something new and of interest to you, or developing you towards something you want to do, whether if your dream has been to learn to ice skate or to learn to play the piano or to learn how to knit. That is something that is a way to be continually learning, to be continually growing. And I believe strongly if you want to be a leader or to continue to grow as a leader into an executive position or C-suite within an organization, or even as an entrepreneur where you are the CEO of your organization and being able to interact with people at senior levels and be able to take on the responsibilities of a CEO within an organization, whether it is owned by you or someone else. And to be able to really do that and grow, you have to have a thirst for knowledge. I always talk about that thirst for knowledge. And you have to be looking for ways to quench that thirst. You want to make sure that this is what keeps you fresh. This is what keeps you relevant. This is what keeps you competitive in any industry that you're in. If you are in any industry, you should be spending 20 minutes a day where you are learning something about that industry or something that is relevant to that industry, something that's going to give you a competitive advantage that is going to keep you on point when you're in a conversation with somebody else who is looking for your expertise or is a peer or a senior person to you. And, you know, just like we need to feed and nourish our bodies and our spirits, and we talk about being mindful of what we're putting in our bodies, you know, organic foods, of nutritious foods that really provide nutrition and not empty calories. We talk about to meditate, to be at rest, so that our spiritual being can find some peace and be able to renew some of that energy. So we need to do the same thing for our minds. It's important that we continue to nourish our minds in terms of what we are putting into it, how it is affecting our body, and how it is affecting our spirit, and how it is affecting how we interact with other people, how we treat people, how we grow and develop as an individual and as a professional. So we need to think about that as we look for things to read, to watch, and to do. And so this is really how the Summer Leadership Book Club really came to be. It's about feeding my mind and continuing to grow and develop and find some new things that can help me become a better leader, a better employee, a better entrepreneur, and then bringing you along with me on that journey and sharing that experience and sharing some resources and tools that might be helpful for you as you look to learn and grow in this changing workplace environment. And so the leadership series is, we have, it is for the month of June, July, and August. We have three different books, and the one that we'll be talking about this month is The Alliance, and it's Managing the Talent in the Networked Age, and it's by Reid Hoffman, who is the co-founder and chairman of LinkedIn, who we all know has done some wonderful things, has seen some great success, and was a very innovative organization when it started and how it continues to thrive. And we also co-authors Ben Kasnoka and Chris Yee. So hopefully you've had a chance to grab the book, you've had a chance to do some of the reading and begin to take in some of the information. Not that everything will work for you, but how some of this information will begin to really, you can begin to apply it as a leader or as an employee with your leader. And this book, I actually had a chance to, I went to a conference for SAVA, which is a learning management system, and they had Ben Kasnoka come and speak to us at one of the morning sessions as a keynote, and really getting a chance to hear him speak and talk about the Alliance and what that meant and what that was really interesting, and what he was saying made a lot of sense as he began to explain and to go into more detail. As the workplace has been evolving for the last decade or so, as we see millennials coming into the workplace, where there's a different type of culture that is beginning to develop in the workplace. And so when you look at the Alliance and hearing him speak, I was like, I need to get the book. I need to read it. I need to learn more as I look to grow. And the book was really interesting in the aspect. They really talk about, if you think about the last decade or two and how we've really begin to see a deterioration of the employer-employee relationship, we know that the relationship is truly a broken one. It is no longer the times when you go and you work for an employee when you graduate from high school or graduate from college, and you are guaranteed a long-term employment with that employer. If you look at parents or grandparents, depending on your age, most of them started working in those organizations in their early 20s and put in 30 years with that organization, retired or getting a pension, and never thought about leaving. And even some you might know who really hated their job, they still in that organization out of loyalty, out of responsibility, that they stayed in those jobs. But those times are no more. Most organizations have gone away from defined benefit plans, and men, and if you look at the turnover in terms of employees, most are changing jobs every 3 to 5 years is where you're seeing a lot of turnover in the workplace. So, and with that occurrence in the workplace, you know, and even the mindset there, I've gone on some positions for that I've interviewed for, and the employer was very clear to explain to me that, you know, this is an at-will state and in terms of employment, meaning that they can really let you go at any time for no reason. And when you think about the start of a relationship, it's probably not the best way to start a relationship. If you met somebody in a dating thing and they said, I like you, but when I get tired of you, I can say goodbye and you should just go merrily on your way. So, and because of that response, it's almost become, and some of it, in fairness, employees are afraid that they might end up with a bad employee or they know that with the fluxing economy we live in and the possibility of having to downsize or lay off people, you don't want to feel that sense of obligation, so you kind of make that clear up front. And there is no longer that long-term employment. When you come and work for an employer, it might be for 30 days, and at the end of your probationary period, they decide you're no longer a good fit, or it might be 3 years or 30 years, but you don't know that going in. And we know that in this culture, that the new idea of employees as free agents, which is kind of, you know, the opposite direction of employees are free agents and they can go wherever they want and go to the highest bidder or who can offer me the most, we know that that doesn't work either and is not the best situation for the employee-employer relationship and in terms of being able to really work together and transform organizations in these times. And what Reed Krasnoka and me talk about is about a solution for employers and employees becoming allies. And when I look at the definition of allies, being allies are people, groups, or states that have joined in an alliance for mutual benefit or to achieve some common purpose, whether or not explicit agreement has been worked out between them. So really, if you think about that definition, it's about the employer and the employee coming together, and we're looking at what is that mutual benefit, what is that we both can get out of this relationship. So this concept, in terms of employer and employee becoming allies, was the concept and the creation of what they call the alliance between employee and employer. So the book title is so appropriate based on the foundation and the conversation within the book. So knowing about the creation of the alliance, we know that the goal for a manager or a leader is for their employees to really come in and help transform the company for the future. That's what they want. That's what they need. And the employee wants the company to help transform their careers for the long term. So the alliance concept creates this win-win scenario for both parties, so that the employee is getting the benefit of growing professionally and advancing and transforming their career, and the employer is getting the benefit of somebody who is coming in, contributing, and really creating some transformation within the organization. But this alliance can only happen as long as both sides trust that the other is committed to this mutual investment and mutual benefit. So it's really about having open conversations between the employer and the employee so that both are being transparent in this process and honest within the conversation. This requires the employers to acknowledge that employees will leave their company, or will at least more than likely leave their company. And it requires employees to acknowledge that they have career aspirations and that they may not stay with the company the duration of their career. So when we both come to the table and are transparent and are honest, this becomes the foundation of your talent management strategy as you look to recruit and retain employees, because you really are looking for individuals that are flexible, that are creative, that are willing to take risks and to take action. And so it really is building this trust and mutual understanding in terms of the expectation that we are there to benefit each other. We are both getting some mutual benefit from it. And then when you are able to find those people and you're willing to say, we are willing to accept this process, be transparent. We know that this is going to allow us to get the best talent to come in and allow us to invest in them while they are here investing in the organization and the organization is benefiting from what that individual is contributing during their stay within the organization. And we know that these employees, the ones that we're really looking to recruit and retain, that have an entrepreneurial spirit about them, those are the employees who are going to adapt quickly to the changing environment and the workplace. And like I said, those are the individuals that are going to be flexible. They're going to bring that creativity. They're going to come up with ideas that involve some risk, but they've thought them through, and they're willing to really be biased for action and to move forward. And really the beauty of the alliances, the authors say, is that it creates a model for work that encourages companies and individuals to invest in each other and in the process to have more honest conversations. So when you look at it as a mutual agreement, it works for the employer because they don't look at it as we're putting all this money in an individual and he's going to go leave or she is going to go leave the organization and now we wasted that money and time and resources on that individual. They have to look at it as we're investing in this person, but the return on that investment that we're getting, that person is contributing in the workplace into the transformation of the organization, is so worth the investment. And the employee has to look at the same way in terms of they don't feel like I'm working and contributing and giving this organization my all, and there's no opportunity for growth or development. So the growth and development that the organization may be offering you may not be within that organization, but it creates that growth and opportunity that and development that you need for an opportunity somewhere else. And in the book, they give a few examples of how they created some of these alliances and how they used it to kind of groom people, knowing that when those individuals came in the organization, their intent was to go somewhere else. And some stayed 2-3 years and some stayed 9 years as they both saw a mutual benefit in the relationship. It doesn't mean you come in and when that mutual benefit is done, it goes away, but it's building you to be able to go to that next level that you had. And it also is about building them so that their organization can go to the next level and continue to transform and be innovative in their industry. So they talk about the alliances and we say, how do you create these alliances and what does it involve? And one of the things that they talk about in that is they talk about the concept of tour of duty. And, you know, immediately my mind went to my military background and comparing it in terms of a tour of duty from a military aspect, which was not their intent, but you can relate somehow if you have an idea of it in terms of when people say I've done a tour of duty and Iraq or wherever that they went away for a period of time and came back. So a tour of duty is when a mission is created that is mutually beneficial to the employee and the company that can be completed in a realistic period of time. So it's about a mission for that tour of duty that is mutually beneficial to the employee and the company and that can be completed in a realistic period of time. So that is key to these tour of duties, that it is for a period of time. That allows you to create goals. That allows you to create time frames. That allows you to create milestones. That allows you to see accomplishments and seeing growth and moving forward and the transformation when you put that period of time on that. And the notion of tours of duties, for example, giving an employee a 2-year contract to achieve specific outcomes with the promise of rewards, you know, one of which generally involves an additional tour of duty. So you might have a 2-year project or assignment to work on. It might be a new product innovation that you're working on. You're going through that product cycle, creating that, you know, working with your product designers, working with your sales team in terms of what does it look like, working with your project management people, your procurement people in terms of your products and materials, and, you know, out into your the vendors who might be selling the product. So it could be a two-year contract, and you have these specific outcomes that you need to achieve. And with those outcomes, there's some type of promise of reward in the, at the end. So that's the mutual benefit that the individual is getting. The company is getting the benefit of the achievement of those outcomes. And generally what happens is there's a next additional tour of duty. So like I was saying, it's not like you come and at the end of that 2 years, you're let go. It's not like you're a contractor and when that assignment is up, you're let go. Now, if you're underperforming and not meeting your, achieving your goals, that's different. But the intent is not to leave people go at the end of that, but to see how that tour of duty sets you up for the next tour of duty in terms of how you can continue to transform the organization. It might be a similar tour of duty, or it might be a completely different tour of duty within another department or group within the organization. Or it might be a mutually understanding at the end that you've completed this tour of duty. This has really set you up to where you want to go in your next level. And then you take that and you go to that next company or organization to continue to grow yourself. And they, you know, they're defining an attractive tour of duty lets you point to concrete ways that you will enhance the employee's personal brand at the company and beyond its confines. So really, when they talk in the book, as far as individuals, they really talk about branding yourself as an individual, as an employee, because that brand is what they look at in terms of those future tours of duty. Or when you go to another organization, when you go in and I say I'm Ramona Holly Major, they look at my resume. That's the beginning of my brand. When they look at that, that represents who I am as a person, what I'm capable of, what looks good about me, what looks not good about me. And so it's really about if you do a really good job on your tour of duty and really complete it, it really begins to enhance your brand within the organization or even when you leave in terms of that employer being a resource to you. So they really look at it in terms of a family. So even though I may no longer be with that organization, I still have that family as a resource. I can still call my old employer, get some referrals, maybe still being mentored by a former employer. So it's not that the relationship is severed when you leave the organization, which is much different from the way most employer-employee relationships happen today. Is when that employee leaves, there is no longer a relationship. Generally, there's some type of sever of the relationship. And so really looking to go away from that so that that mutual beneficial relationship is long-lasting and doesn't end when the employee leaves the organization, which creates a lot of other synergies and opportunities for both the company and the employee as they both continue to transform and move to this innovative workplace environment that we are in. And it's also allowing employees within defined boundaries. The companies also encourage employees to have conversations on professional social media platforms around industry issues. It's really about, you know, going on LinkedIn and having dialogues with other professionals, joining those groups or Facebook networks or other professional networks or forums to be able to continue to have those conversations, to grow, to share resources, tools, to find opportunities. If you think about LinkedIn in itself, it's about networking and meeting people and sharing industry knowledge and getting knowledge, but it's also about finding opportunities that might be good for you in that next tour of duty, which may be within your organization or not. And so you want your employees to be discoverable within a professional context and should really push for policies that allow employees to build their personal brands and establish some thought leadership. Because as they become more familiar to those in the industry, that contributes to the success and the brand of the organization that they are in. So if somebody really sees you as a content expert and you are with, you know, company XYZ, that gives a bigger view to the company XYZ, where they're saying they have some great employees there, they have some great resources, there's somebody there that I want to work with, that I want to mentor with, that I want to be able to grow and develop with. And sometimes people go to organizations or companies because of individuals that work within that organization. They're looking for somebody to be their mentor. They see that knowledge base within the organization. And a lot of LinkedIn is in the Silicon Valley, so we know, you know, so much of that is about intellectual capital in Silicon Valley. So it's really about people in terms of being able to capture that knowledge and that information. So I know we're coming to the end of our first book club series, and I just am hopeful that many of you had a chance to read the book, The Alliance, Managing Talent in the Networked Age, by Reid Hoffman, Ben Casnoza, and Christie. If you have not had a chance, I would highly recommend that you find it. It just gives you a different idea and perspective of managing and leading people, a talent management approach to how you can begin to recruit and grow and retain the right individuals within your organization as you're looking to grow, transform, compete in this innovative workplace. So, you know, this book is a great practical guide for managers and leaders to use as a tool to recruit, manage, and retain the right kind of people that will make your company thrive in the innovative and constant changing workplace we are in today. This is a great tool as an employee if you are looking to, or individual, as you are looking to grow within your organization or business, you know, as you begin to grow your own business and are looking to hire on people, this is a great tool to use to think about, how do I begin to take on employees within my organization? How can I get the best and brightest? You might not be able to pay them the most, but if you can show them the mutual benefit and the investment that you're willing to make in them and that they're willing to make in you, you know, we know, like the millennials today, money is not the driving factor anymore. It's about experiences. It's about learning. It's about creating opportunities and networks and using some concepts like the Alliance and the Tour of Duty is something that you can use to begin to recruit and retain those individuals. So I want to say, be sure you tune in for our next show. Our shows are on the first and the third Wednesday. Our next book club series will be on July 15th, and we will be talking about Smart Leaders, Smart Teams by Roger Schwartz. It is a book as well that you will find very helpful as a leader, as an aspiring, emerging leader, that will be just as helpful to you, and you should take the time the next 30 days to read that as well. So in closing, I want to say thank you, everyone, for joining me this evening. I look forward to you joining me in 2 weeks. In the meantime, be sure to tune in to hear Sade Speaks with host Sade Dennis tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and our other fabulous PWE radio shows. So thank you again. Make sure you continue to quench that thirst for knowledge and grab a book, and I'll see you on July 17th for the next Book Club Leadership Series. Have a great evening. Bye.